AOPA asks, where will you land? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in, and thanks for downloading us. One of the highlights of AOPA Expo 2007 was a discussion of the challenges facing small airports. The occasion was the 10th anniversary of AOPA's Airport Support Network. This conversation features, in order of first appearance, Bob Showalter of Showalter Flying Service at Orlando's Downtown Executive Airport, Shelley Dezavalis, AOPA Southwest Regional Representative representing West Houston Airport, and Woody Woodward, retired Assistant Administrator for Airports at the FAA. The panel was moderated by Andy Cibula, AOPA's Executive Vice President of Government Affairs. Bob starts out by describing how his company's role at Orlando's downtown airport has changed over time.
Yeah, we did everything you can think of, 135, maintenance, parts, aircraft sales, new airplane dealership. Today, we mostly have tenants that do many of those things. We have tenants that do maintenance, tenants that do flight schools, tenants that do charter. And the reason that's developed in our way over the years is that we found it very difficult to be good at all of those things. So we determined that the best way for us to survive was to, in many cases, I sold those departments to our former employees. And today we have about 450 people that work on our leasehold. As my last point, though, is that if we were still the little airport that just had a few guys that like to come fly on the weekends, Orlando would have gobbled our airport up long ago. Now that we understand, and I think that you should take back to your elected officials, we talk about the very light jets now that can operate on small airports. Chances are the next major employer that may want to come to your town to look at a new plant, he's not coming on the airline. He's coming on a fractional. He's coming in as turboprop. Maybe he's coming in as Saratoga to look at your community. And your elected officials should know that some of the most important people that can affect the future of your small town land at your airport.
Shelley, I'd like to shift gears to a little bit to the situation that you have there in Houston.
Well, first of all, thank you very much, and I still think that some of my dad's opinions have transferred down into me. So there are several challenges that come with owning an airport. Some of the primary ones deal with the fact that we are competing against federally funded airports in a way. Some of the expenses that we have to pay property taxes. They publicly owned airports don't. We have to have a lot more insurance coverage because most publicly owned airports are self-insured. Those are just a couple of examples. We struggle to make sure that we provide the services and the top-notch quality that the pilots such as yourselves deserve. And but we do have a lot of issues that can that hurt us. You know, when you come to our airport and buy fuel from us, those taxes go to help support other airports across the nation, which is a good thing, but then yet we have to be a little bit more efficient with our dollar and what gets spent where. So some of that infrastructure that we have that is aging, a 20-year-old runway, we have to put money back into our infrastructure to keep it a safe place for y'all to come in and enjoy. So those are just a few things. Of course, the biggest issue probably lies mostly around land use issues. Being a privately owned airport, we don't have the tools that a lot of publicly owned airports have access to, so it can be a little bit harder for us. What we try to do is we try to bring the community in together. We have Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. We have a lot of community activities that are held at the airport because we want them to see what the airport brings to the community. 300 airplanes that are based here at West Houston Airport, they contribute a lot as well. They're loyal. They've been with us since the 1960s. A lot of them have, actually. And we've been very fortunate in that area to utilize those assets as a community, to support this community in a lot of other areas, not just in aviation. So those are a couple of issues there.
We'll be back with more in a moment. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature and a panel discussion on small airport challenges from AOPA Expo 2007. Panelist Woody Woodward is a retired assistant administrator for airports at the FAA.
Well, first of all, the FAA likes airports too, and so some of you may have had good experiences with the FAA and bad experiences with the FAA, but I would say one of the things that are good experiences, I think, is the support that the FAA has for airports of all kinds. And the biggest stick that the FAA has is obviously the grant program, $3.6 billion it gives to airports around the country for development, and that's commercial service as well as non-commercial service airports. And coming along with those airports taking that money are what are called grant assurances, which are promises that the airports make when they take that money from the taxpayers of things they're going to do. And that's the biggest stick, that when any of you hear about a threat to an airport, I would encourage you to go to Phil and Andy and Bill Dunn, who's fabulous, and just let the FAA hear about that, because they'll be all over it. I think somebody earlier said one of the ways the FAA responds, though, is from people like you. I think it was Stacy who said through the volunteer program, you often hear in your local communities, and you merely need to tell the FAA, and they'll be your ally in trying to fight whatever's happening.
What is the most important part of any effort to save an airport?
And that's easy. It's everybody in this room. It's the community support that y'all bring, and the experience that y'all bring, and the expertise that you get to tell your elected officials about how important your airport is. It's each and every one of you in this room, and that brings that need to tell everybody how important the airport is and the benefits that it does bring, not only economically, but for safety reasons and for the keeping general aviation alive.
Well, there may be three of us that can take a crack at it, but the answer is community involvement. Mm-hmm. I would invite you, if something starts to threaten your airport, not only to talk to your elected officials, but talk to your Chamber of Commerce mm-hmm. and explain to them what happens if we lose this vital port to the rest of the country. And so get them involved. It's hard sometimes to counteract one wealthy developer that's got his eyes on that 200 acres of downtown property, but you can beat them.
I'd say educate your community before saving the airport becomes an issue. Have them understand the importance, both economically, recreationally, all the important things there are about your airport that makes it important to your community, to your business leaders, to your elected officials. But start doing that before it's ever threatened. Don't walk in there when somebody's knocking on your door. I think you should think about a strategy for doing that year-round, year after year.
Great. Well, Woody, Bob, Shelley, I want to just thank you very much for spending time with us here this morning. It's been great.
Thank you.
You'll find video of this panel discussion in the archives at aero-tv.net. Look under January 28th and 29th, 2008. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.